It's a privilege to open God's Word with you today. And before we get into it, I do have to a little disclaimer. And that is that I did not plan to preach. Well, I planned to preach this sermon today, but when I set the schedule, I didn't realize it was Mother's Day. So this was not intentional, as you'll see as we get into our passage. We're just in our regular series of Ephesians, and this is the one that happened to fall on today, but I think it's actually a good thing. Today we're looking at what Paul had to say to his readers about their marriages. And of course, since this is the Word of God, it's not just about what Paul said to those people back then, but it's about what God is saying to us today about our marriages. Now, before some of you check out, I know some of you are doing that already, you're going, well, I'm not married. Why did I come today? I'm never going to get married. Why am I here today? Please stay. Don't leave. Please stay mentally as well. Keep listening. Because even if you think there's nothing for you today, this is not just a message for married couples. First of all, if you think you might get married someday, you're going to learn some things today that are going to help you choose the right spouse and to have a godly marriage when you do get to that point in your life. And even if marriage is not ever going to happen for you, either it's in the past, and you're not going to remarry, or maybe you're happy being single and there's nothing wrong with that, you just never know when God might bring someone into your life that needs to hear these words, and you'll have a chance to disciple them and counsel them and instruct them and build their marriage. So, let's get into Ephesians today and learn all that God has for us today. We're in Ephesians 5. Verses 22 to 33, and I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles or on the screen. Make sure I'm not making any of this up. So starting with verse 22, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Let's pray together. Lord, as always, as we get into your word, we ask for you to help us. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to work in our lives and reveal to us the truth of your word. So we thank you for your word. We thank you for every word in this passage. Pray that you would help us to understand how to apply this to our lives, how to be the people, the body of Christ. Help us to be the people you want us to be as Christians. Lord, teach us today from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So before we get started with that contentious verse 22, it's very important that we remind ourselves first of the previous couple of verses in this passage. You remember from last week, if you were here with us, verses 20 and 21. It's where we ended up last week as we talked about specific behaviors that we should avoid and behaviors we should adopt in Christ Jesus. And Paul ended that section with these words, "Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Then we read verse 22, "Wives, submit to your husbands, your own husbands, as to the Lord." So before we start to wonder why Paul is picking on wives here, Look carefully. He just stated that we are all, as members of the body of Christ, to submit to each other, to submit to one another. The specific instruction to wives flows out of that instruction. It's an extension of the mutual submission that should already be happening within the body of Christ. So with that in mind, let's dig into exactly what Paul is saying in this passage. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. First of all, there's a few things that Paul is not saying. Okay, he's not saying that women are to submit to men. This is not a general call for women to be submissive, but rather an individual instruction for wives and their own husbands, not men in general. Also, this is not a statement that wives are inferior to their husbands. I mean, unless you're delusional, you are well aware that in many areas, our wives are actually superior to us. This is not about inferiority. In fact, there can be submission within equality. Right? I mean, look at the example of Jesus Christ and God the Father. Remember Luke 22, when we did our study of Luke 22, 42? Quizzers, you know this verse. Remember what Jesus was praying in the garden before his crucifixion? He said, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Jesus submitted to the will of God. That doesn't mean he's inferior to God. We know that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, they are all one in God. There is no inferiority or superiority within the Trinity. And yet there was submission of Jesus to the Father. Submission didn't mean Jesus was inferior. And likewise, submission of a wife to her husband does not mean she is inferior to him. So Paul was not calling for the submission of women in general to men, and he was not implying that women were inferior to men. Finally, it's important to note this is not a call for husbands to command their wives to be submissive, but rather it's something the wife does willingly. She does it of her own free will as to the Lord. When a wife submits to her husband, she's really submitting to God. This brings up another important matter in this discussion. This doesn't mean that if the husband is unworthy of submission, that you don't have to submit. I mean, it's easier if he is. But whether or not it's a good husband or a bad husband, the act of a wife submitting to her husband is an act of obedience to God, often in spite of the fact that the husband is not all that he should be. So we know so far that this instruction by Paul for wives to submit to their husbands comes from the general instruction for mutual submission within the body of Christ. It's not a call for women to be submissive to men in general. And it's not to suggest that women are inferior to men. It's to be given freely by the wife, not demanded by the husband. And finally, it's an act of submission to the Lord. But why? Why does Paul even give this instruction? Why does he open up this can of worms? Well, first of all, this probably wasn't a big deal in Paul's day. I mean, given the social standing of women in the day that Paul lived, the way they were treated, most people reading this in Paul's time would have thought this was kind of unnecessary instruction because women were expected to be submissive, especially within the family. Often they were seen as the property of their husband. Now, obviously, that's not true today. We've made great strides in terms of the equality of men and women compared to that society then. But God still allowed this to be included in his word that he knew we would be reading today. I mean, we take the Bible to be absolute truth. So why is it there? Certainly God knew this would be an issue for people today. Because we look at that and we say, well, God says to submit, and so we should submit. Well, let's read on. We've got to get off verse 1 and on to verse 23 and 24. They say this about the marriage relationship. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Well, that helps a bit, doesn't it? The husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. Now this is familiar territory for Ephesians, right? Paul has been using the image of the body over and over and over in Ephesians. And here he uses it again. The idea of the church being the body of Christ and Christ is the head of the church. So we as believers are members of the body of Christ. He is our head. Jesus is the head. In the same way, husbands are God-ordained to be the head of their wife. It's a reflection of Christ's headship of the church. Notice, too, it says that Christ is the Savior of the church. So if the marriage relationship is to reflect the relationship between Christ and the church, then husbands must provide for, protect, and preserve their wives. That's the how. That's how wives are to submit to their husbands. But why? Paul never explicitly gives us a reason, although you'll see some stuff later on that'll give you some good reasons. But I think it was, and I would like to suggest it, is simply a matter of creating order and stability within the home. You see, a body can't have two heads, right? If your body had two heads, two brains, each sending different messages as to what to do and when to do it, your body wouldn't function. There can only be one head. Someone needs to take the lead, and God has asked that of husbands in the marriage relationship. All right, so are we okay so far, wives, women in general? You're not about to throw anything at me? I did ask Archie last week if I could get a bigger pulpit. I could hide behind it more easily, but I think we're doing okay. Well, take heart, women, because the rest of this passage is not about you, but it's about husbands. In fact, the majority of this passage is about husbands. Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Husbands, men, those of you who will be husbands someday, you're not just called to love, we're not just called to love our wives. No, we're given a standard of love to live up to. And that standard is we are to love our wives in the same way that Jesus Christ loves the church. Unconditional, selfless, sacrificial love. Now notice, it doesn't say, husbands, keep your wives in subjection to you. It doesn't say, husbands, if your wives submit to you, then love them as Christ loved the church. Whether or not our wives submit to us is none of our concern. Our job as husbands is to love our wives as Christ loved the church, period. And notice that's not the end of the sentence. I said period there, but it's actually the middle of the sentence. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. This is a picture of all that Christ has done, is doing, and will do for the church, past, present, and future. And look at what it says. It says, Christ gave himself up for her, referring to the fact that Jesus allowed himself to be tortured and killed on a cross in order to provide salvation for the believer, for the church. Then it says he wants to and is sanctifying the church. You see, positionally, We are all already sanctified. It happened at the moment of salvation. But we're set apart and made holy. But practically, that process of sanctification is an ongoing process. As we become more and more like Jesus, as we submit to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Paul refers to it as being cleansed by the washing of water with the word. A lot of debate over what those words actually mean. But what we know it means for sure is that God uses the word of God to sanctify and cleanse and purify us. It's his primary means of speaking to us. We are cleansed as we hear and obey the word of God. And then finally, looking at the future, he's doing all of this so that Jesus could present us, the church, to himself in splendor, without any spot or wrinkle or blemish, perfectly holy as his bride in the days to come. We sang about that today, didn't we? This is quite a picture of how Christ loves the church, all of those who believe on his name. This is how Jesus loves his body, the church. He saved it by sacrificing himself. He cleanses it and purifies it through the word of God, making it holy. And he will one day present his own body, the church, to himself in splendor, holy and unblemished, in spiritual perfection. Then look at the next verse, verse 28. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Christ loves his body, the church, and husbands are likewise to love their bodies. I'm not talking about spending more time at the gym or passing on that last piece of cake. No, we're to love our wives because they are part of our bodies, because we are one flesh. Husbands, you and your wife are one flesh. Look at verse 31. Paul quotes from Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That term, become one flesh, refers to the fact that in marriage, a man and a woman are permanently joined together. Husbands, we need to nourish and cherish our wives as we would our own bodies, because they are part of our body as we are united to them in marriage. And we need to do it in the same way that Jesus nourishes and cherishes the church, which is his body. How does he do that? How does he feed and strengthen and grow and cherish and love and honor and care for the church? Well, we talked about this already back in verse 25, 26, and 27. Jesus wants the church, every believer, to grow to spiritual maturity in him. It starts with him saving us by his sacrificial death. Then throughout our lives, he sanctifies us and cleanses us, primarily through the ministry of the word of God, all for the purpose of one day presenting us to himself in splendor, holy and spotless. Spiritual perfection. Husbands, men who will one day be husbands, is that how you nourish and cherish your wife? Are you willing to sacrifice all that you are and all that you have for her well-being? Do you do everything you can to ensure that she is pure and holy? I often say this to dating couples. Guys, it is your responsibility to keep your girlfriends pure. Do you take the lead? Especially in spiritual matters in your home, do you read the word of God with your wife? Do you pray with her and for her? Are you the one encouraging your family to get up on Sunday morning and get to church? Do you tell your wife every day that you love her? More importantly, do you show her every day by your actions that you love her? See, I think one of the major problems with marriages today is Many men, many husbands have forgotten how to lead or chosen not to lead. They've abdicated the role of headship, content to let their wives lead, or maybe no one leads. Especially when it comes to spiritual things in the family and in the home. Men, I'd like to challenge you today. If you are a husband, or you plan to be one someday, love your wife, or plan to love your wife, like Christ loves the church. Love your wife like you love your own body. Lead and nourish and cherish her. Give everything you have for her, and you will be amazed at the difference it will make to your marriage. And wives, remember all that stuff about submitting we talked about earlier? How easy would it be for you to submit to your husband if he loved you like Christ loves the church? Now, that's not an excuse not to submit. Remember, we covered that earlier. But seriously, would any of you have a problem with submission as unto the Lord to your husband if he was always looking out for your best interests, leading you spiritually and sacrificially loving you every moment of every day? I don't think so. Well, carrying on, there's this little verse 32, which is kind of a bit of an aside. Paul says, "This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church." So Paul has just quoted from Genesis 2, remember, about the husband and wife being united in one flesh. And Paul is stating that this idea is a profound mystery. You see, since the creation of man and woman, that's Genesis 2, if you go back and look at it, this idea of a husband and wife becoming one flesh has always been a bit of a mystery. And Paul is stating that the meaning of this mystery is revealed in the New Testament church. He's saying that it illustrates the relationship between Christ and the church. Isn't it interesting that the way Christ treats the church is an example of how a husband should treat his wife, but at the same time, the marriage relationship between a man and a woman is a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. Let me say that again. The marriage relationship between a man and a woman is a picture of the relationship between Christ and his church. How amazing is that? And what an amazing responsibility we have as married couples. We are a picture to the world of what a relationship with Jesus should look like. Maybe that's why marriages are constantly under attack. You've noticed that they are, right? You see, Satan knows that not only can he destroy your marriage, he can totally discredit and diminish the relationship between God and mankind if he can destroy the marriage relationship. So don't let him. As Paul reiterates in the final verse of this chapter, "However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." As we submit to each other and to God, as we commit to godly marriages where the husband loves the wife unconditionally, selflessly, and sacrificially, and the wife submits to the leadership of the husband and respects him, an amazing picture is given to the world around us of the relationship that is possible between Christ and the church. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that even though sometimes it's hard to even understand and maybe doesn't quite line up with what society says about how we should live, we thank you that your word is truth. We continue to look for that truth in the word, Lord, and ask you to reveal it to us. Thank you for our families, Lord. Thank you for wives and husbands, those who will be wives and husbands someday, those here today that will have the chance to encourage wives and husbands. Lord, thank you for teaching us from your word and giving us things about marriage that we can share with each other, within our own families, with friends and neighbors and those who need to hear this. Lord, help us to live our lives the way you intended. Help us to live our lives for you, filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord, and leaning on you and relying on you for everything we need. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jesus and his bride, the church. What a wonderful example for us in our marriages. Well, some of you might be wondering about some of the things I said today. Is a marriage like that really possible? Is it possible for wives to really submit to their husbands in everything? For husbands to love their wives as Christ loves the church? Or what about where we started today with all of us being in mutual submission to each other? I know I fail. I fail to love my wife as Christ loved the church, probably pretty much every day. There's some things in my message that I need to go home today and start to work on and put into practice. But let's not give up just because it's hard. Let's not stop trying or use it as an excuse to not try. You see, my commitment to Lori, my wife, is that I will keep trying to love her as Christ loved the church until the day I die. Period. I'm going to fail. You're going to fail. We're all going to fall short sometimes. But don't give up. I'd encourage you to hold fast and keep trying. Men, I know it's hard. Women, I know it's hard, maybe impossible. But don't give up in your efforts to love your wives, respect your husbands. And mutual submission within the church, the body of Christ, let's all work on that together. Out of obedience to God, let's persevere and live our lives the way God would have us to live them. Amen? Amen. Enjoy celebrating Mother's Day today. Stick around if you can. Have a cup of coffee, a tea with us. We'd love to chat. Thank you for being here today with us. Hope to see you back again next Sunday. Have a great week and happy Mother's Day.